Welcome to the breakdown, ladies and gentlemen, the second one of the day. Just finished checking out game four of the Eastern Conference Finals 2014, Miami Heat versus the Indiana Pacers. Huge ball game, lots on the line, pretty much a must win for the Pacers. They're down 2-1. This game's in Miami. Miami won somewhat convincingly in game two with a huge fourth quarter run, four three-pointers from Ray Allen in the fourth quarter, and that was pretty much all she wrote. So let's get into this one. This was also a very good ball game. All right, so ball game starts out, and I find out there's no Chris Birdman Anderson, which is not good for Miami. He makes a big impact out there. He doesn't get all the praise, I guess, but he makes a big difference out there. He changes shots. He gets lots of rebounds. So I thought that was going to have a big impact on the Heat. However, it didn't seem like it in the first couple of minutes. So we get off to the first quarter. An 8-0 run by not just the Heat, by Chris Bosh alone. He drains two threes and a two-pointer, and it's 8-0 to start the ball game. I mean, that is quick. 8:43 mark, LeBron with a lightning quick dribble drive on Roy Hibbert, and then nice little control of the ball to lay it in, and then that put the Heat up by 10 points. I think it was 12-2. 8:11 mark, Chris Bosh looking to tack on to his already 8 points, goes to the free throw line, misses two free throws. How bizarre, right? Hits his first three field goals, goes to the line, misses two free throws. 7:44 mark, LeBron, crazy drive into the paint. He gets into traffic, kind of loses the ball. He's able to gather it, toss it up with his left hand, softly off the glass and in. Just shows so much control for such a big, strong dude. And then at the 7:35 mark, so just 9 seconds later, Chris Bosh with just continuing his lights-out quarter with a really nice steal. Kicks it up to LeBron, but he just couldn't finish the layup. Paul George got back nicely to challenge it. However, Bosh was not done. A minute and 2 seconds later, another jumper at the 6:42 mark. That means he's got 10 points already. I mean, he's been putting up like 7 points a game for like the last six, seven games. 10 points in the first 5.5 minutes. And then at the 6:07 mark, heat check from three, left wing, wide open, air ball. So bizarre. I just can't understand that. But hey, you know, it's just a weird quarter. I mean, so on fire, but like I said, Bosh with the two missed free throws and the air ball triple. 4:33 mark, D. Wade with a gorgeous pass to LeBron. The defense on the Pacers was looking kind of lazy on this play, to be honest. D. Wade kind of casually was able to bring it up to the free throw line on not a fast break, just kind of transition. Lost the ball a little bit, was able to casually gather it, and then slowly turn around for what looked like he was going to take a little turnaround jumper from the free throw line. And just as he's about to release, he sees LeBron cutting into the paint and flicks it down to him. LeBron with a catch and the easy dunk. And I'll tell you what, I just love those plays. I know I've gone on about it, but it's so satisfying as a player when you elevate with the ball in your hands, thinking that you're going to do one thing. You know, usually you're thinking you're going to shoot, eyes on the rim, and then you just, that split-second decision where instead of flicking the ball towards the rim, you just flick it down like a little laser pass to one of your teammates for the... I mean, honestly, I've had a couple of them. They weren't even significant. I mean, I've had plenty. But there was a couple that I've had that were so clean. One of them was just in a regular pickup game, and I still think about it because it felt so good. All right. So practice. I'm not sure if you can practice those. I think it's just mindfulness. It's a beautiful play by Wade. Great cut by LeBron. 2:57 mark. LeBron. Don't really understand this. To me, it looked like a walk. He did like a jump stop, like two steps and then a jump and then lands and then passes. So I don't know. Maybe I'm not getting the footwork. It certainly looked like a travel to me. It was like a jump stop pass. But anyways, 2:57 mark, LeBron with a nice look, at least. He finds Shane Battier in the right corner. He drains a three. The Pacers pick up the ball, try to move it back quickly the other way. But no, LeBron reads the passing lane, goes all the way in for the layup. And that gave the Heat a 10-point lead, 23-13. So dominant. This is what the Pacers have been doing to the Heat the first couple of games, and flipping the script on them big time. Heat, and by the way, so the when the quarter ends, 27-19, Heat up 8. And the Heat have their only the second quarter of the entire season, including the regular season and playoffs, where they had 0 turnovers in the first quarter. I know it's kind of an obscure stat, but just picked an interesting time to have such spot-on ball movement. You know what we call that? We call that championship form. It seems like they're sliding into it now. All right, so 8-point lead after one quarter. We get into the second quarter. LeBron on the bench, getting his normal rest like he would in the regular season. And from the 8.5-minute mark to the 7.5-minute mark, I'm talking 60 seconds, Chris Bosh, 7 straight Heat points. And the Pacers were scoring as well, but you know, Bosh just having another great little burst. And that maintained the Heat lead, so they're up by 7, 36-29. LeBron comes back in the 6:40 mark, Heat up 9, 38-29. 5:09 mark, LeBron, weird play here, gets called for an offensive foul off the ball, running over C.J. Watson. It was kind of like C.J. Watson set a screen on LeBron and went way off the ball, and LeBron just kind of ran him over. Guess you can't do that, but I don't know. Watson, he just jumped in front of him and stopped moving. It's kind of a weird play. Anyways. And you know what? It's plays like that that makes me prefer street ball to organized ball. I like watching organized ball, but I much prefer playing street ball just because it's dumb rules like that. All right, so 4:13 mark, LeBron. Little move on the right side, dribble drive. Instead of going all the way to the rim, he kind of pulls up and does a little push shot a la Tony Parker or even Mario Chalmers, one of these little floaters in the lane that most point guards will be doing. And it didn't go in clean, but he got the roll. And it's just unusual to see. It's so amazing how many things are in this guy's repertoire. I mean, seriously. He's got that teardrop shot, too. I mean, what can't LeBron do? It's ridiculous. I mean, I watch every single game. I watch every single minute. And, you know, I'm a Jordan diehard. I don't want someone to be better than him. I try to nitpick at LeBron, but, man, it's getting hard. It's getting hard. I mean, look, one three-peat, and, you know, if he finishes it off this year, you know, he certainly not going to have the title, but he's going to be in the conversation. All right, so LeBron, after that push shot, 3 minutes go by, 1:34 mark, LeBron with a lefty layup on a very nice seal and of Paul George, and then a little cut into the paint. Chris Bosh finds him for the easy layup. And then, oh my goodness, the first proper wow play I've had from LeBron in a while. But this was a real wow. This was kind of reminded me of what Vince Carter used to do back in the day. 51.7 seconds in the half. In the half. LeBron, top of the circle, George Hill on him. Hill pestering him up close. LeBron puts the ball on the floor, just blows by him somehow. I mean, George Hill is fast. He just takes one step, and it felt like he was 2 steps past him. That's what it looked like. So LeBron blows past him. George Hill reaches behind him, grabs him on the shoulder for the foul. Jan Mahimi just goes flying by the C's part, and LeBron with a little 180 reverse dunk. So he dunks it on the left side with his right hand, kind of with his back to the basket, and one. And then a bunch of flexing and fist pumping, looking like a pro wrestler, looking scary. I would not want to play basketball against that man. And so that maintained the Heat's double-digit lead. It's 49-39. And luckily for the Pacers, they go on a little mini run. I think someone hit a two. I think it was David West. And then with 3 seconds left, Paul George hits a tough three. That cuts the lead to 5, 49-44, going into halftime. LeBron with 15 points on 7 of 10 shooting. And the Pacers with a very dubious stat that I will get back to at the end of this game. And for those of you who listen to this podcast regularly, you probably already know what I'm going to say, but I'll save it. I'll save it for when I get to the box score. All right, so third quarter. LeBron James, after a Pacer turnover, goes the other way, drains a three on the Heat's first possession. 10:23 mark, so 58 seconds later, the Pacers with their second straight turnover leads to LeBron James fast break and an open dunk. So obviously not the start that the Pacers were looking for to that half after their little 5-0 run. They just cough it right back up. They kept coughing the ball up, and the Heat were just too tough to handle. Just getting buckets from all over the floor, punctuated with the 4:12 mark. LeBron James hits a very difficult right-wing three-pointer in Paul George's face. George playing actually very good defense, well contested. LeBron fading and leaning and draining. That gave the Heat a 16-point lead, 69-53, and you have to be crazy if you didn't think that was ball game. 1:45 mark, LeBron James, not done. Little 12-foot pull-up off the dribble from the right wing, and then another wow play. Okay, so coming off the little 12-footer, the Pacers go the other way. They work it into Hibbert. Hibbert tries a little hook from about 3-4 feet. He misses. LeBron gets the rebound, and then by no means is he ahead of the pack. He just gets the rebound, regular defensive rebound. I would say 7 of the 10 guys have already broken the other way down the floor. LeBron dribbles all the way right up the middle. Paul George is just standing in the paint flat-footed. LeBron dribbles right by him. He just goes up and hammer dunks it. I mean, if you want to talk about, I remember last year we were talking about Paul George possibly being a rising star in the league and seeing what he can do up against LeBron. Well, this reminded me of people talking that way about Dominique back in the day. And LeBron just, and Michael Jordan just shutting the door on that. And I think that's what we saw right here. LeBron just shut the door. He just dunked. I mean, he couldn't even sit on his head because he just was flat-footed. He just didn't even move. That gave the Heat a 17-point lead, 76-59. And you know what? The fourth quarter, I'm not even going to bother with it. I'm not even going to bother calling the fourth quarter. Yes, the Pacers made a little bit of a run. I think they got it to a 9-point game. LeBron had a couple more buckets. And that was it. That was ball game. Miami wins by 12, 102-90. And they basically won that game on a furious third quarter. So and first quarter. What am I saying? So they win the first quarter 27-19, lose the second 25-20. They win the third 31-20. 11-point margin in that third. That was huge. And then the fourth quarter, they actually lost by 4 points. But it really didn't matter. They were just in cruise control. So we go to the Pacers box score. And sadly for them, it doesn't look that bad aside from one guy. All right, you had David West, who's 9 of 18, and Paul George, 8 of 16. They had 20 and 23 points, respectively. George Hill, 5 of 10. So that's some 50% shooting from your main guys. Lance Stephenson, he had foul trouble, so he didn't play that much. Well, actually, no, he did, 32 minutes, but he wasn't that aggressive, 3 of 7. But Roy Hibbert, with a complete collapse this game. 22 minutes, 0 of 4, 5 rebounds, 4 personal fouls, 1 turnover, 1 block, 0 points. 0. In a big game. I mean, geez. It's going to be tough when you go home and you cash that paycheck and you think, geez, I got millions of dollars. I couldn't get 1 point. I'm 7 feet tall. I mean, that's incredible, right? How is that possible? You could be that tall and you can't get 1 point. Incredible. All right, so on to the Heat box score, which looked pretty solid. I actually thought it was going to look a little crazier than this. LeBron, his usual great performance, 13 of 21, 32 points, 10 rebounds, 5 assists, 2 steals, a couple of turnovers, no blocks. I mean, just a masterful performance by LeBron. Chris Bosh, who started off super hot, you know, he stayed hot enough, 7 of 12, 25 points for him. 12 field goal attempts. That's a solid outing. And D. Wade was 4 of 12. You know, the rest of the squad, not terribly exciting. But this is the big stat that I was going to get back to. Remember I was talking at the halftime, I said the Pacers had a dubious stat. Well, the Pacers in the first half had 0 free throws. Okay, they managed to get 17 of them in the second half. But so did Miami. And get this. This was the ball game. So I said, long-time listeners, you're going to know this. You're going to know I'm going to say this because this is really where the game was won and lost. Miami won by 12 points. You want to know the free throw numbers? All right, here we go. Pacers, 11 for 17. Okay, so 11 points. They missed 6, 64%, so that's not going to cut it. Miami, 30 of 34, 88.2% shooting, and 30 free throws made. Think about that. That's almost a third of their points is scored off free throws, unguarded 12-foot shots from the line. They had twice as many free throw attempts, and they made 19 more. 19. Do you take those away? Right? Or you even that out, and we got a bit more of a ball game. So you can talk all you want about, Roy Hibbert or the Pacers or people not draining shots or whatnot, but really, that's what it comes down to. Miami was able to get themselves to the line and drain their free throws. The Pacers were not able to get themselves to the line. And when they did not drain their free throws. And that was your ball game. And for the most part, that's the series. I mean, the only question now is how hard is the Pacers going to make it for Miami when they get to the finals? Are they going to be tired or are they going to be well-rested? Because we've got a Spurs and Oklahoma City series, which looked like it was going to be over, but with the miraculous return of Serge Ibaka, which I don't understand that. They announced that he was done for the season, and then he misses 2 games and comes right back and plays well. But that series is at 2-1 San Antonio. They were looking like they were on their way to a steamrolling. So we'll see if the Pacers can make this more of a series. Make Miami play a couple extra games. But either way, with this victory, you know what this means. This means Miami has all, but I say there's a 98% chance that they are going to their 4th straight NBA Finals. I mean, wowzers. Pretty cool. Pretty cool. I like watching dynasties. As much as it annoys me, after the fact, I like looking back at greatness. Even when Jordan was winning all that stuff, you know, I had mixed emotions. I wasn't always just wanting him to dominate. I wanted to see other guys get in there and get some chips. But at the end of the day, you got to appreciate greatness. And that's what I'm watching right now. I'm watching great basketball. I'm watching championship basketball. These guys definitely turned it around after losing that first game. Miami taking 3 straight on the Pacers. And just clowning them. Just clowning them. Making it look easy. Especially this quarter, this game just jumped them on right out of the gate. All right, so that's it for this ball game. I think it's another 2 or 3 days until we get the game 5 in Indiana. So it'll be a little break from the breakdown, and then I'll get back to you. Again, apologies that the game 3 the breakdown was so late, but life gets in the way, and I'm not really going to spell it all out for you, but I just couldn't do it. All right, so I got one out today, or 2 out today with the second one, which I'm going to drop online in a minute. So thanks for checking out this little breakdown, folks. Love y'all. Thanks for sticking with me. I don't know if you're all still Raptor fans or still checking stuff out, because y'all don't really talk to me that much, which is cool, which is fine, whatever you want. But, yeah, even with the drop-off in the Raptors Abroad episodes, hasn't really dropped off in listenership, which is cool. Which is cool. I mean, this is really a pure labor of love for me and really some practice. I don't know if I ever really explained this in these podcasts. Maybe I'll do it real quick now. My dream was to be a sports broadcaster, and I was well on my way to being at least somewhere on the team within the Raptors. I don't know, but an on-air... I mean, to be honest, I probably would have got a shot somewhere on camera at some point. I was putting myself in that position. But then a few other opportunities took over, and... You know, that was my dream, but I had a few dreams, so I decided to follow some other ones. And now with the power of the internet, which was just a baby back then, I'm talking like early 2000s, late 90s, I can do this stuff. I can represent and practice my broadcast and do the stuff I always wanted to do. Right? I can do my best Bob Costas impersonation. Those of you who don't know Bob Costas, check him out. Greatest basketball finals caller of all time, broadcaster as far as I'm concerned. All right, y'all, that's it for this little breakdown. Thanks for checking us out. That's it for my personal rant. Love y'all. Peace.